Through the Years by Rena. Read by Schmaler.
Rena Jenkins.
And KLB.
Summary. Christy, Marianne, and a promise remembered. Christy had had the best idea. She'd made up an obstacle course in her backyard with toys and garden furniture. All she needed was someone to race against. Charlie was busy with David Michael, and Sam was at his friend's house. She wanted to find Marianne, but she wasn't anywhere. Christy huffed and her bangs flew up. She stood with her hands on her hips and thought, where could Marianne be hiding? She could ask Claudia to play, but Marianne was more fun. She let Christy make a lot of the rules for the games they played. She was a lot like Tacy in the Betsy Tacy books Mom was reading her and Sam. Only Marianne didn't have any brothers or sisters, which always made Christy sad for her. But that wasn't helping Christy find her. Marianne's babysitter was no help, and that made Christy mad. Charlie always knew where to find them, no matter how well she and Sam hid. Charlie was a better babysitter than the yucky old lady Marianne had. Christy went through the house one last time, peeking under beds and into closets. Success! She finally found her hiding deep in the linen closet, almost entirely covered by sheets. Only her pigtails peeked out. Christy threw the sheets behind her, and Marianne's tear-stained face appeared.
What happened?
Christy asked. Marianne cried a lot, but she didn't usually hide.
He said that he wouldn't marry me at the playground today.
Marianne said, sniffling.
Is that all?
Christy asked.
Who cares about getting married?
I do!
Marianne wailed, her lip wobbling.
I like weddings! And he said no one would ever ask to marry me, even when I'm all grown up, because I'm a whiny crybaby.
She started crying again. Christy did sometimes think that Marianne was a crybaby, but she wasn't whiny, and Christy hated anyone who made her cry extra.
He's nothing but a meanie. He's just scared no one will want to marry him, because he's a jerk. If you want to get married, you will. And they will be really lucky to marry you.
Really?
Marianne sniffled again.
You're really nice, and you're fun to play with, and you give good hugs. I would marry you if I had to marry anyone.
Then she had another great idea.
If we're not married when we're really old, like 30, then I'll marry you, okay? You'll be married if you want to be.
Christy didn't know why anyone would want to get married. It had just made her mom sad. But it was an easy problem to solve. Marianne wiped her face.
Okay. But you have to ask me, or it doesn't count.
Now?
Christy asked, confused.
Yes.
Marianne said.
Or else we won't really be future engaged.
Okay.
Christy felt weird, but she knelt down like she had seen in the movies.
Marianne Spire. Will you future marry me?
Yes!
Marianne launched at her for a big hug.
Thanks, Christy. You're the bestest.
You're welcome.
Christy said, hugging back.
Now listen to this idea. You made this look too easy.
Christy said accusingly. She crossed her arms and her eyes at Marianne, whose prom gown was bagged and sitting next to her on the couch. Marianne had found her dream dress, a floaty, sea-green chiffon thing that made her look like she had stepped out of the 1950s within 15 minutes. Christy was sailing past an hour, with an entire rack of rejected dresses and a sales lady who had gotten less pleasant by the half hour.
Maybe I should just cancel.
No canceling,
Marianne said emphatically.
Maybe you should branch out from all the black. What color is Sarah wearing?
Christy blinked.
How should I know?
She asked.
I'm shopping with you, not her.
You need to compliment each other,
Marianne said, sighing. She pulled out her phone and sent a text to Christy's girlfriend. It buzzed a moment later.
She's in purple, so no red, but maybe try blue or green?
Christy made a face.
I guess,
she said.
Blue could be okay.
Another 45 minutes, and she discovered that blue was not actually okay. At least, not in these styles, which made her feel itchy and wrong. Mary Ann was waiting patiently on the couch outside the dressing rooms, and she flopped down next to her, letting her head rest on her shoulder.
"Please let me cancel,"
she asked.
"This is hell."
"Sarah can't wait to dance with you,"
Mary Ann said, wrapping her arm around her. Christy sighed.
"You play dirty."
"Have to around you,"
Mary Ann said, cheerfully. Her arm tightened around Christy's shoulder.
"I think I have an idea."
"Burlap sack?"
Christy asked.
"Because that's what we're getting down to."
"Better than a sack,"
Mary Ann said.
"Wait here."
She headed for the snippy sales lady and started talking. The lady didn't look impressed, but Mary Ann crossed her arms and kept talking. Christy smiled as the sales lady finally nodded and they walked off. Even a year ago, she couldn't imagine Mary Ann pushing back on a sales lady like that. But today, she was grateful for it. She felt too out of her league to know where to begin. Mary Ann reappeared, striding over with a bounce in her step and a smile on her face.
"Lillian is getting it all set up,"
she said.
"Let's take a 10-minute break, get some caffeine, and come back refreshed."
"I think Lillian needs the break,"
Christy said, but let Mary Ann pull her to her feet. Getting out of the stuffy store and fortifying herself with espresso did help, and Christy felt a little less hopeless as she dragged herself back into Belair's.
"So here's my suggestion,"
Mary Ann said.
"You hate dresses. You have always hated dresses. You're probably always going to hate them. Why are you forcing yourself into them?"
"So I can take my girlfriend to prom and everyone from you and Sarah to my family has said no to jeans?"
Christy said. The "duh" was heavily implied, she felt, and Mary Ann rolled her eyes.
"I'm still saying no to jeans,"
Mary Ann said.
"Ignore half the men you see on the red carpet these days. They don't know how to dress appropriately. But don't ignore the other half."
She pulled Christy back into the dressing room, where an array of suits were hanging up. Christy's mouth dropped open.
"Really?"
she asked.
"This isn't cheating?"
"Yeah, it's totally cheating to be wearing something that makes you feel good and have fun at your senior prom,"
Mary Ann said.
"That's why I dragged you through over an hour of trying on clothes to find something you liked."
"Sarcasm does not become you,"
Christy said, already excitedly stripping. Mary Ann laughed and hung up Christy's jeans and Yukon Huskies softball t-shirt.
"I'll be back on the couch, waiting with bated breath."
And in 15 minutes, Christy also had the prom outfit of her dreams. She discovered quickly that she wasn't a fan of suit jackets, but she and Mary Ann agreed on a gray and black waistcoat over a sky blue blouse and gray trousers. It was comfortable and she loved it.
"And now we get shoes,"
Mary Ann announced, and Christy groaned. The night of prom, Mary Ann came over early to get ready at the mansion. Christy perched on a bathroom counter as Mary Ann did her makeup. She'd never cared enough to have gotten the hang of doing it herself, but liked it well enough when one of her friends or sisters wanted to practice on her. She glanced at the mirror when Mary Ann finished and grinned. It was mostly subtle, but she liked how it looked. She even liked the red lipstick Mary Ann had suggested she try. It was punchy.
"Approve?"
Mary Ann asked.
100%.
Christy said, smacking a kiss on her cheek. Mary Ann laughed and swiped at the mark.
"Careful,"
she warned.
"Stay put only stays put so much."
"Roger that,"
Christy said. She ran off to get dressed while Mary Ann started her own makeup. Their dates were coming in an hour to pick them up for dinner with the rest of the Gay Straight Alliance she had started, the same group they'd be hanging out with after the dance. She had learned quickly that she needed the structure a club of her own provided, and at least this one seemed poised to live on past her time in school. Christy was dressed and flipping through an old photo album when Mary Ann finally came in.
"Well?"
she asked, spinning around. The skirt floated up around her, but her neat pin curls miraculously stayed put. Christy stared at her.
"You're beautiful,"
she said finally, and Mary Ann beamed at her. They stood together in front of the mirror. Christy had lost the fight to wear black Converse, but won the no-heel argument, so she was in Oxfords. Mary Ann had embraced heels, so Christy only came up to her shoulder.
"We make quite the pair,"
Marianne said.
A very dapper pair.
She smiled, but Christy couldn't meet her eyes in the reflection.
I'm going to miss you,
Christy blurted out, feeling and watching her cheeks pinken.
It's going to be so weird not seeing you every day,
Marianne said.
But I'm not crying. Not crying. So stop it.
She blinked furiously.
That's for graduation. And August. It's only May. No crying at prom.
She hugged Christy tightly.
But I know what you mean.
Just promise me we're really going to be friends always.
Christy said, her heart beating fast. She hated this. She hadn't felt like this since SMS graduation, and she had thought she was keeping it together better this time around.
Not like we are with Stacy and Claudia, just seeing them sometimes in class or the GSA. I mean, real friends.
Her voice wavered and she bit her lip. Marianne touched her lip gently.
Don't do that, it'll smudge.
She warned.
Christy, you've been my best friend for almost 20 years now. We've hit every milestone together, and that's not going to go away overnight. I mean, you were even my first proposal. We're going to drive our roommates crazy with how often we call, email, and visit each other.
Christy finally met Marianne's eyes.
You remember that?
She asked.
We were practically babies.
A girl doesn't forget her first marriage proposal.
Marianne said sternly, shaking her head.
Honestly.
She grinned at her.
See? There you go. We have to at least be friends until we're 30, so we can find out if we're stuck together or not. Crisis averted.
Girls, Sarah and Josh are here, Watson called up the stairs.
Our chariots await,
Marianne said, offering Christy her arm.
Come on, bestie, let's dance.
Christy lay in bed, feeling dizzy, and not just because of the alcohol. She had known Marianne her entire life. They'd stayed in constant touch since high school and hung out every break. They still called each other best friends, and Christy, at least, always meant it. College hadn't seemed to change Marianne at all. She still cried at sappy romances and anything with animals. She was still quiet. She was still Marianne. And yet, here they were. After 3 semesters of poli-sci in Connecticut, Christy had transferred to Marianne's college when she realized what she really wanted was a business program. Her business classes had made her the most happy, and Northwestern had a great program for her to get into after undergrad. It just made sense. Marianne had seemed enthusiastic about the switch, and even suggested they be roommates in the fall. Marianne had suggested they go out to celebrate Christy's first weekend there, and Christy had been surprised when Marianne took her to a bar. She had never seen Marianne with alcohol before, because she never drank at any parties, high school or college. But somehow, Marianne Spire had a fake ID. They'd barely gotten settled at a table when Marianne had looked nervous, started to say something, and then jumped to her feet. A tall, dark-haired woman had walked up, and Marianne had wrapped her arm around her and dropped her bombshell.
Christy, this is Meredith, my girlfriend. Mary, this is Christy.
Best friend and founder of many clubs, Meredith said, holding out her hand. I've heard so much about you. I'm glad you're finally here. There were very few times Christy had ever been speechless. Marianne with a girlfriend? She had seen Marianne with a girl before, kind of. Marianne had danced with both Christy and Sarah at prom. Did that count? Maybe it counted. It was a little less shocking than the fake ID, at least. She realized that Meredith's hand was still hanging and quickly grabbed it.
I've heard nothing about you,
she blurted. Marianne winced and Meredith's face fell. She glanced at Marianne, confused, and Christy immediately felt guilty.
No, that came out wrong,
Christy said quickly.
That drink from your neighbor must have been stronger than I thought. I mean, obviously, I've heard nothing but good things about you, Meredith.
Meredith had smiled, said something about Kate's heavy hand with the vodka, and things mostly got better from there. Marianne had avoided her gaze for the most part, and Christy had drunk more than she normally did. Marianne had nursed her one drink for most of the night, with occasional sips from Meredith's, which seemed like a Marianne thing to do if she was going to use a fake ID. She was still Marianne, just a little more grown up, and away from Christy, which hurt a lot. She tossed and turned most of the night, unable to fall asleep and hating the twinges of jealousy that she felt. Meredith got to know this part of Marianne that Christy didn't, and there had never been a part of Marianne that Christy didn't know. She finally fell asleep after 6 and was woken by a knock on her door. She groaned and squinted at her clock. It was almost noon. She answered the door and found Marianne holding a big bottle of water and a steaming cup of coffee.
"I thought you might need these this morning,"
she said, holding them up.
"I have Tylenol, too."
Christy grabbed the coffee and waved her in.
"Do you want to talk about it now or later?"
Marianne asked, perching herself on Christy's roommate's chair while Christy swallowed down the Tylenol and chugged the water. Christy wasn't even sure where to start. She drank more coffee and the silence stretched.
"Are you mad?"
Marianne asked, tightening her hands.
"Why didn't you tell me?"
Christy asked.
"I mean, I'm gay. It's not like I'm going to tell you to stay away from me or anything. I could have helped you."
"I didn't need help,"
Marianne said, and Christy felt a flare of hurt again.
"I had a really good role model."
She smiled at Christy, and Christy couldn't help smiling back.
"It's not really new, though Mary is,"
Marianne continued.
"I've known for a long time that I was, at best, mostly straight, and that was fine. And then I met Mary in class last fall, and I realized that I was underestimating how much I liked girls, too. We started dating at Halloween, so it hasn't been that long at all. I didn't mean to hide it. I just didn't know what to say. You kept talking about how great it was to be single all semester."
Christy winced. She'd been dumped by her last girlfriend when she'd applied to Northwestern, and had maybe piled that on too thick.
"Does anyone know?"
"Dad and Sharon,"
Marianne said.
"They were great about it, of course. Sharon was just surprised that..."
Marianne broke off and sighed.
"She wasn't surprised at all, really. And I guess that made me a little self-conscious, too. I was going to tell you before Mary showed up. That was a surprise for me, too."
"Any other secrets?"
Christy asked.
"Anything you're holding back on?"
Marianne shook her head.
"No, I promise. You're caught up on everything."
She paused.
"Oh, wait, I take it back."
"Are you moving in with her?"
Christy asked, hating the twist in her stomach.
"Christy!"
Marianne laughed.
"It's been 2 months. I am still planning to be your roommate in August, I promise. No, this is more serious than that."
She paused and Christy held her breath.
"You know, of course, about the Wildcats softball team. You're trying out, right?"
Christy nodded.
"Well, I didn't tell you that... there's also 3 roller derby teams nearby. Surprise!"
"Marianne!"
Christy threw a pillow at her.
"Don't scare me like that."
She threw her other one, too, and Marianne ducked, laughing.
"Seriously, though. 3?"
Northwestern turned out to be a perfect fit for Christy. She thrived in classes, enjoyed groups and sports, and loved being back with Marianne. They spent most days together, or with Mary, and since Christy's roommate spent most nights with her boyfriend, Marianne often spent the night with Christy. As far as Christy was concerned, life was perfect. Yes, it would be nice to have a girlfriend, but though Mary had introduced her to several girls and she had met others, nothing had clicked. With Mary and Marianne, though, she never lacked for a social life. Then one spring Friday, she came back to her dorm and found Marianne sagged against her door.
"Marianne?"
Christy asked.
"What happened?"
"She broke up with me,"
Marianne said, and burst into tears, again from the state of her face.
"I'm sorry,"
Christy said, helping her up.
"What do you need? Want me to go beat her up? I'm a derby girl now, I could take her."
She probably couldn't, so it was handy that what Marianne needed was really sad movies. By their second go-through of Titanic, with Casablanca, Romeo and Juliet, West Side Story, Love Story, Moulin Rouge, and Kissing Jessica Stein in between, it had been a very, very long weekend for Christy. They were curled up together on Christy's bed, Marianne snuggled in Christy's arms. She was a good fit, despite their relatively comparable sizes.
There are no happy endings.
Marianne sniffled as the ship started to tilt out of the water. Christy rolled her eyes, but kept stroking her arm as she had been for the last 2 hours. Not that she was counting.
Of course there are. You're just focusing on the sad ones.
Because they're the most realistic,
Marianne said.
Everyone dies. What's the point?
Christy sat up.
Okay, change of plans. We are finishing this weekend on a hopeful note.
She crawled out of bed and went to her shelf of DVDs. She popped out Titanic over Marianne's protests and put in the only romantic comedy she had ever really enjoyed. Imagine Me and You.
Watch.
She ordered, climbing back into place. By the end, Marianne was sobbing again, and Christy sighed.
This was supposed to make you feel a little better,
she said.
It does,
Marianne said, turning and burying her face in Christy's shoulder.
They're so cute and happy,
she cried even harder. Christy shook her head and pressed a kiss to Marianne's hair. She loved this crazy lady. Christy and Marianne moved in together junior year, and that was it. They lived together the rest of undergrad, and found an apartment together for grad school, too. Their friends teased them that they were like an old married couple. Somehow, the few people they dated never found this quite as amusing.
Our last winter break,
Marianne said, wistfully, as they packed for Stony Brook.
If you end up in schools, you'll always get one,
Christy said. Marianne had gone from her bachelor's in education to a master's program to be a children's librarian, hopefully a school librarian.
I'm the poor sucker who will never get a break again.
You should have planned better,
Marianne teased.
But it won't be the same anyway.
Christy knew what she meant. She had never really gotten better at transitions, and this was the biggest of them all.
At least we'll still be together.
Always,
Marianne said cheerfully. Except that turned out to be a big, fat lie.
I can't believe you applied for a job in New York,
Christy said angrily.
We agreed to stay in Chicago for now. I accepted that job downtown yesterday.
I'm sorry,
Marianne said, biting her lip.
I am, honestly. I only applied because my professor knew the principal there and she wanted me to. I never thought it was a real possibility, especially since they had to interview me over the phone. But, Christy, it's hard to find a job as a librarian. There aren't many open, and I haven't gotten any offers here. I've tried so hard all year. Public libraries, public schools, private schools, the field museum. No one is hiring me, and now it's August. People aren't going to be hiring for the school year much longer, and I need a job. And now I have one.
So you're taking it? You're not even considering still trying here? You just got your degree a few months ago. There's still time. We can figure this out,
Christy said, thinking fast.
You can get another part-time job at a preschool, right?
I want to be a librarian,
Marianne said, frustrated.
I don't want to cobble together a handful of jobs with no insurance or days off. I want to start my career, and this place is my chance. I heard from River Grove today, and they went with someone else. I don't have any other options, so yes, I am taking the job.
She sighed.
I'll keep applying for openings here, too. The contract is only for a year to start. I could be back next fall.
Or you could be in New York because they'd be crazy to let you go.
Christy felt like crying, which she hated.
When are you leaving?
2 weeks,
Marianne said.
I talked to Dad and Sharon, and I'll stay with them until I find a place of my own. I'm thinking Brooklyn, maybe.
Christy looked at her, in her cat print dress and big glasses.
You'll fit right in.
She didn't really mean it as a compliment, which she could tell Marianne noticed.
Thank you,
she said anyway.
I think I'll like it. For now. It'll be an adventure.
Great,
Christy said.
Have fun with that.
She grabbed her mitt and stormed out the door to softball practice. The next 2 weeks both dragged and sped by, which Christy felt wasn't even fair. Marianne spent it packing up her stuff and going out with friends for goodbye get-togethers and dinner parties. Christy spent it mostly avoiding her. She found herself a small apartment on the Green Line that she could afford on her own and started slowly moving her stuff over there. For Mary Ann's last night, their friend Allie had invited a few of their closest friends over for dinner and drinks, exactly the kind of quiet night out Mary Ann liked best. Mary Ann knocked on Christy's door at 6.
"It's almost time to head over to Al's,"
she said through the door.
"Are you ready?"
Christy opened the door and squared her shoulders.
"Sorry, can't make it,"
she said.
"I have a date."
Mary Ann looked like she had been kicked in the stomach, and Christy felt a flash of guilt.
"You're not coming?"
she asked, her voice sounding watery.
"Sorry,"
Christy said.
"No, you're not,"
Mary Ann said, cheeks turning pink even as a few tears fell.
"I can't believe you. You're being stubborn and mean and a total jerk, Christy. I'm sorry things aren't going your way, but I never thought you would be so small and petty. Enjoy your date. Enjoy your new job. See you around, I guess."
She left, door slamming behind her, and Christy felt terrible. But not terrible enough to go after her. Or maybe too terrible to go after her. Mary Ann left the next day, and Christy started her new normal. She threw herself into her job, which she loved, and increased her time with Derby and coaching the girls' softball team. Her friends and teammates initially teased her about missing her other half and asked after Mary Ann, but stopped when it became clear that Christy wasn't going to tolerate it. And she didn't really know either. She hadn't called, texted, or emailed Mary Ann since she left. Mary Ann's Facebook stayed quiet, and she only heard a little from others. Her mother told her when Mary Ann found an apartment and left town, and Stacy said that they had had lunch and that Mary Ann liked her job. It was the longest they had ever gone without contact, and Christy hated it. She was always reaching for her phone to text Mary Ann about something, or wanting to share stories when she got home. She never got used to coming home to an empty place. She hadn't realized how much she appreciated coming home to baked goods or music playing or just her best friend. So much for having to be friends until they were 30. Her heart hurt at the memory. She couldn't bring herself to take the first step, though. Mary Ann was right. She was small and petty. She at least had all the friends they had made the past few years. Mary Ann was on her adventure alone, even if she did apparently still see old friends sometimes. She tried to put that out of her thoughts, but it rarely worked. She got through both their birthdays, missing their traditions. She got through Halloween, the first time in years she hadn't had a partner for a costume. She got through Thanksgiving, which she spent in Chicago since she didn't have enough time off to go home. She pulled out Christmas boxes to decorate, only to realize that most of the stuff she was used to seeing, and even some of her favorites, had apparently been Mary Ann's and were gone. Her job shut down for the week between Christmas and New Year's, so she flew home, only a little nervously. Everyone had made it back. Charlie and his wife and daughter, Sam and his girlfriend, David, Michael, and Karen home from college, with Karen and Andrew staying over, and Emily Michelle still at home. They hadn't gotten the full Thomas Brewer clan together in years, so her mother and Watson were thrilled. Christy was glad to see everyone too, but her thoughts kept drifting to Mary Ann. Was she in town or still in New York? Would they run into each other? "Are you going to see the girls while you're home?" her mom asked, coming into the living room where Christy was curled up with a book Karen had given her on Dottie Kamenchek and the AAGPBL. "Either BSC or GSA?"
"I don't know,"
Christy said.
"Shannon's in Europe. Claudia and I talked about lunch but didn't set anything up. I don't know if anyone else is here this week."
"I ran into Mary Ann, Dawn, and Mallory at Starbucks yesterday," her mom said, and Christy stiffened. "Christy, what happened between you and Mary Ann?"
"We had a fight,"
Christy admitted.
"We agreed to stay in Chicago, but then she left."
She felt the old familiar ache all over again. "It's not the first time you two were in different states," her mother reminded her. "You did fine then. Why the fight now?"
"We had an agreement,"
Christy insisted.
"We had plans. We were going to start our lives together, and then she went and left me.
She blinked in surprise as her mom raised her eyebrows. That sounds serious, she said. Maybe you should talk to her about that. Christy felt everything snap into place in her brain.
Yeah, I think I should.
But how do you tell your best friend that you flipped out and stopped talking to her because you were in love with her? Directly, she ultimately decided. The next morning, she stopped by the florist to pick up a bouquet and drove over to Burnt Hill Road. She took a deep breath before ringing the doorbell, hoping Marianne would be the one to answer the door. She was, and Christy let out a breath in relief.
I'm so sorry,
she said, before Marianne could say anything.
You're right. I was being small and petty and stubborn and mean. I was hurt, and so I hurt you, and I should never have done that. Or waited 3 months to apologize. I've been sorry since August, and I'm sorry for not saying so earlier, too. I love you.
She thrust the flowers at Marianne. Marianne took the flowers and stared at them for a moment.
I've missed you,
she said, finally looking up at Christy.
I want to tell you to take your flowers and stuff them, but I've missed you so much, jerk.
Christy beamed at her.
I was. I am. But I'm going to make it up to you, if you'll let me.
Of course I will,
Marianne said, bringing the flowers up to her nose.
These are a good start. I love them, and I love you too.
About that,
Christy said, her heart beating fast.
I meant it. In, like, the I'm in love with you way. And I don't know if you're dating anyone right now, or if you could ever feel the same way, but I am. And that's part of why I was upset. And I just wanted you to know that.
Oh.
Marianne's eyes widened.
I see.
Christy's heart sank.
So there we are. I'll let you take care of those, and I'll email you to catch up, okay? It was good to see you.
She started backing away from the door.
Christy Thomas,
Marianne said, exasperated, grabbing at her sleeve.
You don't get to drop that and run.
Christy sheepishly stopped and let Marianne drag her to the porch swing. They sat there for a minute in silence, slowly rocking.
So, for the record, back when I told Dad and Sharon that I was dating a woman, Sharon couldn't believe it wasn't you. She said we'd clearly been crushing on each other for years, which was one of the reasons I waited to tell you, because I hadn't realized I'd been so obvious, and I pretty clearly thought you didn't feel the same way.
Marianne twisted her hands, and Christy put hers on top.
I didn't really understand it until yesterday,
she admitted.
But I think it's been coming for a long time for me, and I didn't know how to see it.
She squeezed Marianne's hand.
I realize that I've always thought of you as my partner. My beautiful, wonderful partner. I want to be yours, too. In all ways.
Marianne shifted and considered her for a moment. Christy met her gaze nervously, but then Marianne was leaning in and kissing her.
Yes, I think I'd like that,
Marianne said, nodding. They grinned goofily at each other before Christy pulled her in for another kiss, and then another.
Can I take you out on a date?
She asked when they finally broke apart.
What are you doing New Year's Eve?
Christy had been right. Marianne's school renewed her contract. For 2 years, they made the long distance work. And then Christy was able to transfer to Manhattan. They found a cozy little place together, adopted a cat to join Tigger in his old age, and settled in.
Hey, I had an idea,
Marianne said. She was wearing one of Christy's favorite dresses, the only animal print item Marianne owned that Christy liked. It wasn't what she had been wearing half an hour ago, and Christy muted the game on TV.
Yeah, let's hear,
Christy said.
Your mom sent me this last week,
Marianne said, showing her the piece of paper with a drawing of the two of them in wedding dresses.
She found it going through some old boxes for Sam and Jill.
Christy grinned as she took it.
I remember this. You gave it to me after I proposed.
Yes,
Marianne said, looking relieved.
And look at the date on the back. It was right about now, 22 years ago. So it's practically our anniversary.
Another one?
Christy asked, laughing.
I think we're up to 4 now.
Milestones are important to remember, Christy.
Marianne said automatically. She shook her head.
Don't get me off topic. You got to do this last time, so it's my turn now.
Marianne said. She knelt in front of Christy, who stared at her, mouth open.
It turns out that I don't need to wait until I'm 30 to know that you're the one I want to be with for the rest of my life. And I hope you feel the same way. Christy, will you marry me?
Marianne pulled out a ring, a woven band with no decorations. Christy stared at the ring and then back at Marianne. One of the reasons they had decided to get Christy to New York instead of trying to get Marianne a job in Chicago was that they could get married here. But she always thought she'd be the one proposing. But that was a ridiculous thing to be thinking now when she should be answering.
Yes. Of course.
She said, voice shaking.
Marianne, of course.
Marianne burst into tears and Christy slid the ring on before wrapping Marianne in a hug.
Definitely one of your best ideas yet.
Christy said, grinning.
I only wish I had thought of it first.
She wiped away some of the tears on Marianne's face.
Got any others up your sleeve?
Oh, you have no idea.
Marianne said, matching her grin.
The end.